previously on the Star Sung Distance.
And then you get the call, and you're brought into a briefing room. It's General Orion Caffrey.
We have your next mission ready for you. How do you feel about exploding a star?
Oh god, more exploding.
You will be provided with an additional pilot with which to achieve this goal. They should be arriving within the next day or so. I'm sure you'll have a grand old time.
What could possibly go wrong?
I'm sure you'll find it, Lieutenant. You have a certain talent.
Hey guys, I got all these bags. What's going on? Hi everyone, I'm G-Bon.
As you all know, I'm here to help with the next and the upcoming mission. I'm here for you.
Receive a message from the Glass Spectre informing you that they have provided you with cover names. You're sort of like vague tweeting about it, and you get a reply like from Bravo Turbine, who has a like Valkymperium military avatar, which is the nerdiest thing. Like, what a loser. And Bravo Turbine is like, we are personally inviting everyone's favorite influencer, Fennel Kua, to do a tour of the facility.
Can I bring guests?
I think Bravo says, sure, you can bring a plus one and like a weird like winky face emoji.
Hey guys, I got a tour of the facility. Who wants to be a plus one?
I guess I could be the other person going along with you.
So, am I understanding that the plan is Fennel and Luna infiltrating, sort of undercover, except for the cover is you're yourself, Robin doing sniper overwatch, and Zeban, like, sort of doing, like, some 0079, like, Zaku sneaking through a colony shit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We get, the camera shot of, like, Fennel and Luna both, like, rolling up. And meanwhile, sort of like barely out of focus, but still like very visible, we see the Tonka flare being like slowly loaded into the hangar, and then a crosshair appears over it, and it zooms way out because we are viewing them through the scope of the Phoenix overlooking the base. And so you get a ping from above from something approaching from space, and signal static, your rival opens a comm line and says, I found you, motherfucker.
Took you long enough.
You're passing through, like, a security checkpoint. Because there are just security checkpoints all over the place, and it's no big deal. But one of them beeps as Luna passes through, as Luna Minor passes through. You walk back through, and there's like, another beep. And Officer looks, and he's like, I think it's probably just your ID is out of date. It's okay. We'll iron it out, though. You know, make sure to stop by government office in the next 30 days to get that ironed out.
Work with me here.
I'm going to need you to step out of the cockpit now.
That seems kind of severe, man.
Her hand moves down to her holster. I'm going to need you to step out of your cockpit now. I think she looks at her her file, and she's swiping through. And she says, oh, hang. And she flips, and she's, like, clearly doing a bunch of, like, tapping into various tabs. She's, oh. Mr. Truck, you said, right? Listen, Big, I'm terribly sorry. There's been a bit of a misunderstanding. It's clearly says here on your file that you have special clearance. I'm sorry, I didn't... I suppose you couldn't have told me you were undercover, but here? And she, like, reaches into her pocket, and she pulls out basically, like, a military, like, visitor's badge, and she's like, here on important business, do what you've got to do. I'm terribly sorry for the mix-up, and I appreciate your patience.
On old Earth, it was common when expressing one's dismay at the expectations being thrust upon them to make reference to what were, at the time, considered to be the most challenging jobs. This was the birth of the twin statements, I'm not a rocket scientist and I'm not a brain surgeon, as these were seen as two of the jobs that required the most training and expertise. In situations of comically absurd expectations, one might fuse the two statements together to form the equally absurd, I'm not a rocket surgeon. Naturally, there was no such thing as a rocket surgeon, it was just a turn of phrase. After a few decades wandering the stars, necessity turned that sarcastic expression into a true profession. Rocket surgeons were real, and their job every bit as stressful as you might imagine. Engineers handled the larger scale work, but for fine jobs like repairing a nuclear furnace's transistor before it went critical, or carefully disarming a self-destruct system before it also went critical, you needed a rocket surgeon. And while a normal surgeon's work could cost a person their life, a rocket surgeon's work could cost the lives of countless individuals on board one of the massive colony ships. As if this job wasn't stressful and difficult enough, with the end of humanity's wandering and the beginning of their settlement of the Solaris sector, a new vocation became necessary: star surgeons. With so many star systems being settled, some of the fickle balls of plasma were inevitably less stable than was desirable. It was a star surgeon's job to modify the star in such a way to prevent disaster or better accommodate human life. And again, the scale of the challenge had escalated. For a rocket surgeon, a wrong cut of a wire could cost hundreds of thousands of lives. For a star surgeon, cutting the wrong molecule could end millions or even billions of lives, not to mention annihilating planets and other celestial bodies. The job is unbelievably stressful, and few are those that can handle the pressure. It's hard to imagine what the next frontier in impossibly precise and important work could be. Black hole surgeons, perhaps? We'll leave it to imagination for now. Hopefully forever. One can't begin to imagine what a toll a job more traumatizing than star surgery would leave on a person. In fact, science might well be advancing in a direction to negate the need of an individual to take on such a burden themselves. Star surgery as an art is alive and well, but star surgeons are a dying breed. Traditional wisdom is that too many cooks spoil the lives of anyone within the blast radius, and so the operation is performed by a single surgeon with a support staff. However talented the individual, though, it is entirely understandable that people begin to chafe at the idea of the fate of an entire star system resting on the nerves and sanity of a single person. Now it is becoming more and more common to have an entire team operating on the star at once. Many old star surgeons bristle at the idea, feeling that it is an insult to all their years of hard work. But for Dr. Medicine, professor at the Lazieri Institute of Technology, it is a relief. After years of having all that weight on her shoulders, Doctor is grateful to have more people to rely on, and she is happy to be teaching the next generation of star surgery. That's first name Doctor, last name Medicine, for the record. People always get it wrong. She is also a doctor, but don't call her Doctor Dr. Medicine. That's a smart-ass move. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Tabletop, Star Sunk Distance, Episode 6, again. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media. I am your game master for this episode, and we did really well last time. Let's see if we can keep that up. Alphabetical by first name.
I'm Alan Ibrahim from Chats in Scanline Media. I'm playing Zeban Alchemor. Sorry.
Pause. Oh,
who's next in the lineup?
No, it's Jen.
It's me.
We were so close.
We know how the alphabet works, baby.
I'm Jennifer Uncle, and I play Luna Minor Delta.
Well, my name is Kat, and I play Fennel, who's a fucking piece of shit, but we love him.
And I'm Kyrie Page, and I'm playing Robin Akia.
All right, one little speed bump, but that wasn't too bad. See? The alphabet's not that complicated.
Neither is recording a podcast.
That would dunk specifically to me. Because we're here recording episode 6 again, because there was an episode 6, and I think I jostled a hard drive cable and we lost it.
Or as people like to say, the gremlins ate it.
Yes, yes. I accept zero responsibility for exactly. The thing that's my fault. Uh-huh. But, you know, you dip the egg in the black liquid and bigger than before, right? We're going to do a better job.
Bigger than before.
Bigger than before.
So, you have heard a previously on. My players haven't, however, because I edited that together. So I'm going to give them just a quick reminder as to where we're standing.
Zeban, Alan, you are loose inside the Valk facility. You just checked in the Tonka Flare to be outfitted for, you know, like, for the work on the star. And then you got interrogated real quickly and they gave you the thumbs up. Fennel, Kat, and Luna Minor Jen, you two are getting a tour of the base as Fennel is in there at influencer. Jen, your Luna Miner is operating under the cover name Cinder Dust, though that cover name is starting to crumble under scrutiny. Robin / Watkins, aka Kyrie, you are, in the Phoenix. You were in sort of a sniper position. You were scouted by Valk Control and, explained it away as being one of the, like, mercenaries that they've hired to patrol the base, for the emergency. And they bought that. However, just as you were finishing off that excuse, you got jumped by, your rival, Signal Static, in their new mecha.
All very exciting.
Now, who wants to kick things off?
Let's go alphabetical order by last name.
I want to point out that, Alan, you wrote, Tonka Flare in the group chat, but you spelled Tonka incorrectly because, of course, we are avoiding copyright infringement from the Tonka Corporation.
Damn!
Yeah, I was just trying to send folks a sort of, like, sample image of what I think the Tonka Flare looks like in my head, and just found, like, a sort of, like, speculative mech design I found on DeviantArt.
Mm.
That's definitely not me Google searching Tonka Truck 1970s or anything like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. But
just, should we have a turn order so everyone just has to go in order?
No.
Or is that boring?
I hate turn orders.
I think it only works in combat situations.
Yeah, okay.
And even then, it's like, you know, sometimes like the fiction will demand it, but generally it's like, I don't want to force someone to do something if the situation doesn't force them to do something and they don't have any ideas. That doesn't lead to fun for anybody.
Well, can we do a scene where I'm on an elevator listening to the girl from Ipanema? While like another member of the foundation here is like keeping an eye on me to make sure I'm not doing anything nasty.
I think actually
that's it. That's the whole scene.
You you step into an elevator after your interrogation because you were of course on sort of like the mobile suit. The mecha. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm mecha brain. You were on the sort of the mecha hangar area, and now you're like, okay, let me head up to the main facility itself. Which is just the way this place is. Who here has played Metroid Fusion? Or seen Metroid Fusion?
That you can find on our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. I love the cross promo. I've watched that stream, and I've also played the first couple
hours. So basically...
I've played zero Metroid games, so...
Well, the way the base, the map is laid out in that game is that there is sort of a station up top and then, like, elevators that go down into specific sectors. So if you want to go somewhere else, you have to take an elevator back up to the main area and then go down somewhere else. And that's basically how this place is laid out. So you were in the mecha hangars, and if you want to go anywhere, you have to take an elevator up to the main facility, travel across that, and then take an elevator down somewhere else. So you're taking the elevator up right now. And you rush in to the elevator just as it's you get in plain time, you hit the button and you're waiting, and then just before it closes, a person ducks in to the elevator and is like, whew, close one, and glances and says, oh, hi,
Zeban.
Hi, Zeban. My name's Aaron.
Aaron, that's a nice name. What do you got? What's going on?
I'm from Lit.
From literate, like books?
No, Lit. You know, it's Lit.
Oh, you're
the Laziri Institute of Technology.
Duh, my stupid ass. Duh, I should have guessed that. The fuck. What do you guys do over there?
Well, a lot of stuff, but right now what we're doing here is the, we've got a bunch of people on site for the whole Jesters of the Sky star thing. I'm just a grad student. It feels a little tasteless to say this is a great opportunity because we might all die, but it's really interesting.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Why do you think we're all going to die? Because the sun is going to go kablooey?
I mean, like sort of adjust their collar. Uh-huh. Technically, you can't really call it a sun because the sun is the name of a particular star. But yeah, the star here is going to probably blow up. We're working on preventing that.
That's interesting to me personally.
Why are you here?
Same as you. I'm here to prevent the sun from blowing up. And I kind of give them like a polite nod. Like, yes, I am working with you.
I mean, it's not this. Cool. it's good to have pilots. I'm guessing you're a pilot from the outfit?
Correct. I have a big ship. I'd love to show you it sometime. Think I'm out. You ever seen like Tonka trucks?
Like the big like transforming like death machines?
Correct, exactly those ones.
Yeah.
It's like one of those.
I've seen this. Jesus.
Yeah. I'm pretty important.
One of those stepped on my neighbor's house.
Well,
the dog got out.
This is when the girl from Ipanema starts playing. It's the scene from Evangelion with Rey and Asuka in the elevator. Just a long, like, that sucks. That was a knee, though. I didn't do that. I'm sorry that happened to you. Is there anything I can do to make up for the thing I didn't do?
No, I think we're... This is a long elevator ride, huh?
Yeah.
What's everybody else up to?
I forget. Are we getting led to the... Well,
where you left off, you were kind of just in a like a central area looking at some screens and stuff. There was no... It was sort of just a general like control area for their work on trying to fix the star.
Okay. I'm kind of just nudging Fennel a bit and being like, so, I hear that there's a major project going on over here to kind of like stabilize the area. Could you show us a little bit more of that?
Yeah, I would be interested in seeing that too, you know? Shoot, shoot, bang, bang, me love, boom, boom.
That doesn't seem related to your previous statement, but, well, as you can see here are the, basically this is the command center where we're contacting all of our different, units that are out, keeping security on the planet itself and also, trying to do scouting and various work on the star above. What specifically is your interest? I mean, I guess you said shoot, shoot, bang, yeah. Bang, but we're not really shooting anyone right now.
Well, don't you have any cool, like, weapons to keep all your stuff safe? Like, I thought this was, like, a top-tier place here. You don't have any security?
Major Bravo Turbine looks a little severe. Obviously, we do have some excellent security. However, it is classified material. I'm happy to show you the works that we are doing in order to keep our people safe, but there is a degree to which the secrecy of the Empire must be protected.
But don't you want the clout?
Do you ever want to go buck wild?
Don't you want to go buck wild? Don't you ever feel like a plastic bag?
I could use more followers. Look, this is a roll.
It'll be hush hush, I promise. All right. Let me go to my handy dandy dice roller.
Okay. Let's see here. This seems like a sway to me.
I got a three.
Okay, a three is a failure. So I think Major Turbine says, unfortunately, I have to put the security and integrity of the Empire above personal gain, which is, of course, the very spirit of the Empire itself. We are all just a piece of a greater whole. Actually, I have an idea. Mr. Woodhouse. And a person walks up and says, actually, it's Woodhouse. Yes, what can I do for you, Major Turbine? And Major Turbine says, Fennel, Lady Dust, this is Trick Woodhouse. This is a grad student from LIT, and they are an absolute expert in all things cool and happening.
Fennel tries to hold back a laugh.
And I am certain that they can provide you with anything you need for your story. I am going to attend to some more classified matters. I'm unfortunately not much of an entertainer, but Mr. Woodhouse here, I'm sure, will take great care of you. And you have been pawned off to a nobody.
Son of a bitch.
Also, since that wasn't a partial success, that was a failure. I think I am going to reveal a clock that's been ticking here, which is Cinder's, like, which is basically Luna's cover breaks. It was at 1 of 4. It's up to 2 of 4.
Shit. Okay. We better convince this person pretty quickly then. Well, I guess they don't have any power, so I guess convincing isn't really a thing. We just need to...
And so that's representative of the fact that just sort of in the background, their investigations are proceeding on you.
Okay.
Trick Woodhouse says, hi, yes, you're a person who writes, I guess. Is that... You're a reporter? What is it you do? Why are you here?
I'm an influencer.
Great.
That's all you need to know.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I can show you where the mess is and the bathroom, and perhaps you can entertain yourself. We're actually working here. I know it's not a thing you're very familiar with.
Do you know how hard it is to post, like, 20 photos a day?
Yes. I created a Twitter bot.
Okay, but Twitter bots do not do the same shit that I can do with my beautiful texting, okay?
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. We're from very different worlds, and I could never imagine the challenges of whoring for likes.
I mean, you know, never mind. It would be lost on you.
Okay, great. So are we, do you want me to show you anything, or are you done wasting my time?
No, you can leave.
Great, awesome.
Sorry.
Looking forward to your Insta or whatever the fuck you do. Have a good one. Walks away.
All right, I lean over to Luna. We gotta fuck this place up as soon as possible.
Yeah, we should figure out some shit to do.
Is there a way we can, like, sneak into wherever they're doing? I mean, I guess we really can't sneak. We're already, like, fucking here.
Yeah.
The secret facilities you can sneak into, though, for certain.
I mean, yeah, you can, like, you just tell me what you want to do. We'll figure out how feasible it is and stuff. But, like, listen, let your heart be your guiding key here, right?
I think we should figure out a way to take the mechs and just fuck their shit up.
Yeah, we haven't used the mechs much here. I mean, sorry, I'm a disembodied voice. I'm far away. But I would love to use the mechs.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to get to the, sort of like the mecha hangar, how are you doing that? I mean, like, there, you know, there are, like, directories and stuff, but, like, there is security and stuff, and you have not been ostensibly given permission to go there, so what is your approach?
Do we have a selfie with the general from earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. I say we try and head over to the hangar, and if anyone asks questions, we could just show the selfie and be like, yeah, we have permission to be here. Check it out.
And then he goes, fuck your selfie. Sorry. Go ahead.
Can I commission some people that I know on the dark web to make me some, like, fake credentials in 5 seconds? Or, like...
Sure, that's a consort. I'm going to say because of your previous failure, this is desperate, but that also does mean that you're going to get a resolve XP for rolling in a desperate situation.
Yay.
I got a 5.
All right, that's a partial success, but that does mean you still incur a desperate consequence.
That's fine.
Which is desperate consequences are usually pretty rough. Talk to me about this. You get like, what do these credentials look like, and how do you make use of them?
Some kind of letter that says that I'm allowed to go anywhere on the ship, or on the base because I'm a cool guy. You know what? Maybe I'll take fucking Woodcock's fucking idea or whatever of I'm a reporter now. Sorry.
Yeah, I think the thing you get is like there's this special like job that exists where it's like some reporters are like they do like sort of do the news, but they also do double duty as like military inspectors, right? Mm-hmm. For like treaties and stuff, mm-hmm. while they're at it. And I think what you get is sort of a piece of paperwork that says that you are a reporter who is also like certified as an inspector. And so you're here to sort of, like, make sure that they aren't violating any, you know, intergalactic treaties with their weaponry, which would, of course, mean you need to be able to inspect their weaponry.
Yeah.
And the officers at the elevator, don't call Major Turbine, because that would kind of get you in some hot water, because he knows your deal a little better. But they radio to a different officer, and the officer comes over and takes a look at the paperwork, and is like, timing is bad, but the consequences for declining an investigator are severe. So go on down. We would really appreciate it if you didn't get too much in the way. It is the lives of a lot of people at stake here. So please just, I understand we're not trying to boss you around, but please be respectful of our the stress we're under right now.
Nothing but respect.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I'm a professional.
And there is one problem, however, which the camera sort of, as you go down, they're looking at their paperwork, right? And it's for you and for Cinder, and they look at Cinder's ID, which they have a copy of, and then they look at the paperwork, and the paperwork calls her Singer Dust.
Classic.
And so they're like, there really shouldn't be that kind of error on a really official piece of paperwork like this. And so they run another check, and the clock of your cover being blown goes up to 4 out of 4. The Cinder Dust cover is blown.
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh.
Does Luna know this yet? Just yet?
No, I don't think you would.
Okay.
You might be able to figure it out through, it's sort of like, this is like, making another reference to some game that probably a lot of people haven't played. If you're playing, like, Hitman, and you use detective vision, and you see that there is an entire section of the map that is, like, suspicious, but then the one you're currently in is not. This is like that. It's like, okay, there are a lot of people that are onto you. It's not, like, a guarantee that anyone you see is gonna try to shoot you. But, like, word is starting to spread that you are suspect and need to be pulled aside.
Hmm.
Okay. So, maybe we're walking along to the hangar and starting to notice people are whispering or gesturing to me when I'm walking past.
These are all military personnel, pretty much. If that was the case, they would just grab you. So I think instead there's just sort of like an automated intercom that just goes like, Mrs. Cinder Dust, please report to security. And, like, you know enough to be like, oh, okay. All right. That's cover's blown.
You've got to fucking move, Fennel.
All right.
Just get some power walk. I guess we'll do some power walking to the hangar.
Let's hustle. Let's hustle. Come on, ladies.
All right. let's book it to the hangar. See what we can do in there. Let's fucking hijack some mechs.
Yeah.
All right. So, Robin.
Real quick, before we get started, can we clear the damage and, like, systems that...
Oh, sure, all the damage that you took from the episode that never happened?
Yeah, I would like that cleared, please.
Sure, that's valid. That's valid. I appreciate
you got
that.
It.
Yeah, you got kind of fucked up last time. That didn't happen.
Right. And
I think you also probably took some stress.
I gotta do that too. Sorry. No, I'm really processing what you just said. Yes.
I'm gonna bump you down to three stress?
Yeah,
does that sound right?
Yeah, it was three. Because
you pushed yourself.
I pushed myself once.
And I remember that you're not supposed to be able to push yourself for stress in a mecha, but we'll see. I also think that's fun, so maybe I'll let you anyway. You're supposed to spend quirks to push yourself usually.
Oh.
So.
Oh, okay.
Which we did once, but one time we didn't because I forgot.
Anyway,
dropping from orbit is this new mecha, and you get the open channel from Signal Static, basically saying, like, I found you, motherfucker. This mecha is, it's black and gold, very, like, elegant, like, sweeping design. And it sort of, like, lands, like, on one knee and holds out two hands and hovering, like, what would be on a person, like, a few inches, but obviously is, you know, a matter of quite a few feet away from its hands are some, like, gently spinning, like, gold and jade broadswords, one hovering near each hand. And it stands, and Signal Static says, now... Where were we before we were interrupted last time? This mecha is the Ultim Ratio Regine.
Okay. Can this be an opportunity for me to stand up and, like, draw my blade?
Sure. They are not going for a surprise attack here.
Okay. I think we were somewhere here, and then I go in and go in for a slash.
All right. So this is going to be risky, limited, unfortunately, because you are dealing with a powerful melee-focused mecha. And battle, I assume.
Okay. That's 2d6, right?
Yes.
4 and a 6.
4 and a 6. Okay, a 6 is a success. Paint me one of them classic word pictures.
I think it's a situation in which I imagine Signal Static is waving their broadswords around in, like, a really fancy, like, fashion. But I think it's just one of those things that, like, Robin's, like, footwork is more... It's not flashy, but it is useful, if that makes sense.
Sure. Very practical.
Practical, and, like, cuts through the defense, right through the middle. Like, just kind of like the Gordian knot. If you see something complicated, just cut straight through it.
Got it. And you make a slash down the chest, and it like pushes the Regina backwards. The damage is not as bad as you would have expected. Clearly, this has some pretty good anti melee armor,
right?
And sort of one of the things you get from this is you have gathered that this is, like, intended as a dueling mech, basically. But I'm gonna mark some damage. We're gonna progress a clock here. I'm gonna do 1 of 6 on this one because that was limited.
Okay.
And the Regine, yeah, takes that step back, and sort of like without the sword continues to hover by the hand as it closes its hands into like a extended pointer finger and kind of waggles it like chidingly. And says like I did my research this time. Last time you took it to melee, I wasn't ready for it. This time, not gonna go the same way. But listen, you're all going like straight no chaser. Can't we have a little fun here? I don't even know your name.
Wait, is this mech named Regina George?
No, this is Ultima Ratio Regina, which is Latin for the last argument of queens.
So, Regina George. Okay.
Yes. So yes, that's what I said.
I don't know. Some people call me Sparky.
That's cute. My name's Signal Static, so Static and Sparky seems to go pretty well together. Tell me, Sparky, what's a pirate like you doing down here? There's not a lot of great loot here, I wouldn't think.
You think I'm a pirate? That's cool.
Oh. Interesting. Okay. Which is a bit of information that clearly Signal Static did not have. A reminder that one of your rules of engagement is to protect your cover.
Well,
but I think so. Like she's sort of like circling, and I imagine you're basically circling each other. And Signal says, "So okay, not a pirate." Guess that would explain why your machine there was able to outfit itself with that flicker system you stole so quickly. Wouldn't have expected a pirate to be able to install that so readily. What can I do for you then? You've come all this way. You just sightseeing? This is sarcastic. This planet is like a little pretty, but like not... That's not why you come to an ice planet.
Look, I know you're... Let's just get to the fun part, shall we?
You would make a terrible romantic partner. But, sure.
Are you hitting on me, Single Static?
Well, Heaven Will Be Mine 2 looks awesome so far.
That was just innuendo. You're not my type. I thought you were a pirate. Now I don't know what you are, other than a bad pilot who I'm going to kill. Anyway, on guard and all that. And this is when they activate the new feature on the Regine. I know Kyrie will get this, so I can make this reference. You played or have seen, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Of course.
You know Spiral Swords?
Oh.
This motherfucker has Spiral Swords. A series of beam sabers levitating around, like, disconnect from the chest and turn on and start rapidly spinning around it in, like, a blade barrier.
Does Signal Static say she's motivated?
She probably whispers it to herself, but she does not sing it on open comms.
Well, now.
If you're not going to make the first move, I guess it's mine then. And she lunges forward.
Put a boot in her ass.
I was going to take a look at the equipment list and see what kind of load I can declare. See if I can come up with something as a counter for this. I think I'm going to take something from the soldier playlist. Or playbook. Okay. The Tangle weapon?
Sure.
Like, I imagine that, like, there's a compartment, like, in the side of the, on the side of the leg that, like, you know, it, like, a compartment opens and it shifts something out and it's a tangle gun. And mm-hmm. I'm going to fire it at the legs of the very fancy mecha whose name I can't pronounce.
The Regine.
This is both in character and out of character.
Is this like a bola gun or a net gun or like a goo gun? Or like a, what are we talking?
This is like a bola gun.
Oh, okay. I think that's a... That could be a battle or a bombard, I think. Or if this is just like, if the shooting is kind of perfunctory and if this is mostly about dodging, that could be a maneuver. Any of those is fine with me. I know you have a two in each of those, but do tell me which one it is, just for the purposes of how this goes.
Okay, I think that this is going to be a, this is a maneuver in, not maneuver, this is something that I'm doing in order to slow down signal static. So okay. This is like a bombard.
Okay, that sounds good. Go ahead and roll that 2d6 then. Risky standard.
Double ones, baby.
Okay, there are no critical failures in this game, which is nice. There are just failures, which you got. So I think you fire the bola gun, and it's just like reflexively. Signal static flicks one of the broadswords of the Regine down to intercept, and it just shears the thing in half. Mm. Apparently, the blade of that thing is very sharp. Mm. And then like you sort of like raise the gun to try and adjust your aim to fire another shot, and the Regine like spins on heel to the side, out of the way of the barrel, and then counter slashes. And you will take the level 2 harm, sundered.
Whoa.
Unless you resist. Resisting can bring it down to a level 1.
I am going to burn the redundant circuitry quirk.
So here's a thing that we learned. You reduce burning quirks reduces the level of harm by 1, right?
Correct.
But you have to burn a number of quirks equal to the level of the harm.
Oh.
So you'd have to burn 2 quirks.
In order to bring it down 1 level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, harm on mecha is rough.
Okay. Redundant, I guess I'll burn redundant circuitry and the aggressive hydraulic assist in order to like attempt. It's like, this is like a, like the four, like this is like the left, like the non preferred arm is blocking the attack, but it is like damaging the systems and also cannot like take the entire brunt of the attack.
So it's like you have like obviously you have the redundant circuitry in the arms and the legs, the limbs generally.
Uh-huh.
And you're moving, but it's like you're not gonna be able to move your arm in the way in time. And that's when the hydraulic assist sort of kicks in and like shifts you in place. So that you sort of like slide into it to get you into a defensive spot faster, but it burns out the circuitry when the blade hits because it sort of cuts the wire and breaks the circuit. And then the hydraulic assist like spent itself, forcing you into position. And that's just going to be level 1 gashed.
Okay.
Which reduces your effect on related rolls, but.
Okay.
And I think, signal static, like takes a step back and flicks the blade and drops a piece of, like, a chunk of the arm because your arms are nice and bulky, so there was enough to cleave off.
Mm-hmm.
And Signal says, damn, I wanted to take your whole arm off like you did me. No, actually, sorry, I forgot how that last fight went. Damn, I was hoping to go 2 for 2 on cutting your arm off.
Robin says nothing.
Anybody wanna? We can keep up this fight, or someone else can do stuff. Zeban, you've just been on an elevator.
Yeah, it's a very long elevator ride. No, I think I think part of it, if we're gonna kind of shift time around, is that elevator at some point has like a little bit of a window outside, and I do see this fight happening, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Look at that.
I'm at this point trying to get to the Tonka Flare. I'm trying to make the assist happen.
Oh, you just the elevator comes up to the top and you like step out and then immediately step back in and hit the button again to go back down.
Well, where am I? I thought where I was going was towards it, towards my base.
No, you were going up to the main base. Mm-hmm. You were leaving the mecha hangar, which is where you were.
Fuck. Well, maybe there's something I can do up here before I run back down.
Sure. What do you want to do? It's the happiest place on earth, Alan. Whatever you can imagine.
I really am just imagining like a Disney-like Epcot sort of vibe.
Yeah. Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Here, we're trying to prevent the sun from going boom boom.
There's a Valk Imperium soldier with like an eye patch and like a bunch of scars and like a knife that's actively dripping blood, and they're eating funnel cake.
Dave.
I'm kidding.
Dave from middle school?
It's me, Dave from middle school. No, I didn't go to middle school. That's just my name.
He's like, I'm Bogath the Destroyer. And you're like, no, Dave! Sorry, wrong genre. I think...
Yeah, yeah, for a second, Zeban thought they were in Boy Meets World.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember Boy Meets World. I always get... Whenever I try to think of Boy Meets World, I think of NSYNC and vice versa.
Oh my gosh.
Mm.
I think I'm looking for a contact up here.
Okay. All right. Tell me about what kind of contact you're looking for.
Well, I have a lot of old fight war mercenary pals. I didn't want to say war buddies because I wasn't necessarily in any war myself.
I thought you were going to say fight friends.
Fight, Kat, you know who I am now. You know I have to change it to say that I'm looking for a fight friend. Thanks, pal. All right, so I'm looking for some fight friends. This is like probably people from pilot school.
Sure.
Our school is called the Pilot Wings.
Okay.
And I wonder if it's a group of people like conglomerating on the sort of deck area or socializing or something. And, I think that I go up to one of them and I'm like, remember me?
Well, that's going to be a roll. I think that's a consort.
I am consorting, definitely. And I have a 1 in consort.
Hey, that's one of the social skills you actually have. Great.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, because I have 3 in resolve, and then one of those is in consort.
By the way, don't mind me. I realized that I did your resistances wrong, so I'm going to fix everybody's resistances.
No!
And you realize they're going to drop.
Uh-oh. No.
Uh-oh.
Okay. But consort 1 means I just roll 1d6, right?
Yes.
Yoink. 5, baby.
Okay.
Wow, what a good roll I made.
Yeah, 5 is a partial success. You were in a controlled position, the standard effect, so I think the position will get worse, but you'll get what you want, basically.
Okay.
So I think you are looking around, and you spot a group that's like, they're not, you were hoping to find like, oh, there's some of my old friends from pilot school. And what you instead find is like, there are some people I knew from pilot school. I wouldn't call us friends exactly.
I took a class with you, but.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of like they were in a different clique than you basically, right?
Damn.
It is a pair of pilots.
Ooh.
This is Delta Full City and Be My Shield. Obviously, you can guess by the second name, Anti-Entropist. Mm-hmm. And they are sort of like sitting off on like a little like side table. There are like this is sort of like a general like a large hallway. But it is also sort of like a hallway slash lounge, and there are a little like tall table set up to the side. And they are both sitting there drinking something in little cups. And sort of like people watching. And Delta spots you and doesn't call out, but has a little quirk of the head, which, you know, Delta, not the most chatty person, sort of indicates like, that's interesting. I would not mind, like, I would engage with this person if they engaged with me, basically.
And I can perceive that.
Yeah. I mean, you went to school with them and it's like, you saw enough of them. You weren't friends because you didn't become friends, but you saw them plenty. You know their quirks and stuff. And you're like, okay, like, Delta is not the kind of person who comes to you. But it's sort of like, you judge what kind of mood Delta is in at the time. And Delta is at the moment receptive to talking to a person.
And I kind of face them. Delta, what's, long time no see.
It's even. Interesting to see you here. You here for the defense?
I am here for the defense. I brought a mech with me. I don't know if you remember the Tonka Flare. I had designs for it back in school, but I ended up getting it. And I'm here as part of the operation, if you will.
It's reassuring. You're a good pilot.
Thank you. That means a lot. I always looked up to you in school.
Shield.
Yeah.
They're talking to Be My Shield, who's the other person there.
Yeah, I turned to look at Shield as well.
and Shield says, I heard a lot of things about what you've been up to in the meantime.
Well, that's interesting. I have been up to a lot. Anything in particular? Or you sound kind of worried. I mean, I've just been working.
Yeah. Listen, I know we weren't buds in school or anything, but just be careful who you take jobs from, all right? Like, you know, I still feel a sense of, you know, camaraderie or whatever, and just worry about you a bit.
I appreciate that. I have a vague understanding of what I'm doing. I like to think I still like to ride on the edge a little bit, but you know, I put my chips in the right bucket, if that's how the saying goes.
Sure. Okay. I just wanted to, you know, again, I hear a lot of things. Some of them contradict each other, and it just you have made a name for yourself, and you know how that goes sometimes.
It's weird when people say you've made a name for yourself. Like, is that a good thing? Is that what is a good thing?
I don't know. Me and Delta thought the best way was to just keep our heads down and just be on a bunch of people's Rolodexes, but I respect a different approach. Anyway, listen, not that we don't enjoy the small talk, and you know from experience, Shield very often speaks for Delta as well.
Right.
But you're the kind of person who usually wants something, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say there is, but what did you need?
I actually have a favor to ask of the two of you. I'm on assignment, as I said, and I'm going to need some extra hands when it comes to this assignment. And I start to fiddle with a badge on my chest, which starts to look like it's going to rotate a little bit. It kind of like is on a hinge, I imagine.
I think Delta leans forward a little bit. How loud?
Loud.
Good. And Shield says, oh, good. That was not going to be my answer, but,
All
right, Delta.
Hey, listen, after all this, do you guys, like, want to get a drink sometime? I saw that there was a nice bar up here. They got, like, funny foofy fruit drinks.
I would love to. I think, we'll see what kind of mood Delta's in. Sure. And Delta looks annoyed at this. This is clearly the kind of ripping that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you, like, are we going now? I mean, we're on standby. I guess there's nothing wrong with that.
But. I wasn't planning on having you go now, but it seems like my colleague has accelerated things to a degree that, and as I say that...
yeah, like, in the background, we just see, like, a piece of an arm fly into the air.
and also you hear the announcement over the...
battle stations. Yes. Battle stations.
It's the Miss Cinder Dust. Please report to security.
Mm-hmm. So now, if you could, please, I'll meet
and
you.
Shield makes a little O with their mouth and says, "Oh, so that's the rumor that was true."
Uh huh.
Okay.
Picking up what I'm putting down now, Shield. You're smart. Yeah. You're a smart one.
Delta opens their mouth and then closes it again.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I love friends.
Here's my frequency. This is the channel we use for private comms. We're gonna head down to our mecha now. We are getting paid for this, right?
You're always getting paid for this.
Okay, you know, I just had to say it out loud. Let's go, Delta.
Checks no. in the mail.
No, I know how.
you know how it is.
You've got connections. I know.
You know it. I got Venmo.
Space Venmo.
I've got Loud, and I've got Venmo.
I've got Loud.
My brain. This is nothing, but my brain just went Space Venmo.
Space
in Little Venmo. China.
Jeez, this is nothing.
This is nothing. I don't know why I did that. Anyway, Luna Minor and Fennel.
Hello!
You're power walking through the hangar. There are a bunch of Jaspers down here, sort of the standard mecha model. There are a bunch of other ones that, like, you know, I think if Luna took the time, she could identify a bunch of them, but it's, you know, it's whatever. For the purposes of the camera, these are not super important. You're heading, and there is a large sort of within the hangar, there is a second hangar, basically. It's a large, like, black, like, obelisk, basically, at the end of this particular row. It has guards and its own, like, biometric card keys and stuff. There are a lot of people down here, but people are running around. There are people who are Valk. There are people who are, like, hired mercenaries. And so their, like, security is not the tightest just because there's a lot for them to pay attention to. But if you loiter too much, you will be, like, Cinder, particularly Luna, will be noticed and they'll do something about that.
And our mechs aren't in here, right? They're still back on the Collet?
So you can have stashed them elsewhere on the planet, if you'd like. I'm assuming they're on the Collet, but I'll let you have that if you want.
I think it might be fun to just hijack one of these.
Let's fucking go!
Okay. Alright. Well, any action or roles you want to take, you just let me know.
How many people are in here?
Dozens. It's a big hangar.
How far away is some shit we can steal?
I mean, not far. It kind of depends on how picky you're being, I guess. And I mean, also, you don't, you know, looking at it, you don't know how stealable any given mecha is, right? Like, I mean, you're just seeing, it's like saying, like, how stealable is a car, and you're walking down a street where there are a bunch of cars. You don't know what the locks on these are like. You don't know, like, maybe you open this up and it's like someone left the key in the ignition. Maybe it's hot wireable. Maybe it's got a biometric scanner and you're kind of screwed. Who knows?
Maybe Luna would know a little bit more about what the most stealable mech would be.
Yeah.
Sure, but that would be a role of some sort.
Okay. I could do something like that. Is that survey or?
In this case, I think probably given your background, that would be an engineer.
Okay. So just 2d6?
Yes, this is, I'm afraid this is desperate.
Okay.
But it's standard effect.
6 and a 4.
6 and a 4, that's a success. So looking around here, a bunch of these machines are, like, as I say, they're pretty standard models. You could grab one and, you'd be able to sort of get it working pretty quickly, via hot wiring. Your best luck would be going for one of the Jaspers, because the Jaspers belong to, like, local, like, mercenaries and militia and stuff. And so, like, if you try to go up to one of the, like, the actual Valk machines, they're going to be like, hey, what are you doing? Because you're not a Valk pilot. But if you go up to one of these Jaspers, like, they haven't memorized what mercenary belongs to what machine, and so there would be certainly a delay before you were able to, they were able to be like, wait, you shouldn't be there. And I will give you a +1 to acting on this information.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to know while you're at it? Machine-wise?
Like, is there anything specific to exiting this hangar, or can we just fly it out of here once we get them going?
So this part of the hangar, the black obelisk seems, like, sealed off and has its own exit. But this place has, like, big hangar doors, but they're currently open because people are coming and going pretty rapidly. So you would be able to exit pretty quickly. However, you can see that there is, like, basically there is a control tower that is, like, authorizing people to leave and stuff. So there's nothing to obstruct you from physically leaving. But if you just got in and took off without radioing, you know, for clearance and stuff, that would be suspect.
More suspect than my cover being blown?
I mean, no, but the both could go hand in hand, right? In theory. If they respond very quickly to you launching without clearance, like, you don't know what their response time is going to be, and it's possible they do a scan and they detect your ID inside, and they're like, oh, the person who we're trying to call security has stolen a mecha. And at that point, they would probably just shoot you down.
Okay. I motion over to Fennel and be like, hey, if you could, let's take these two Jaspers, and as we're going, if you could radio over to that control tower and gave them your credentials, that should get both of us through.
I got you. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared to respond. Yeah, let's fuck this shit up. I'm over this shit, these basic bitches.
All right, well, this is a prowl. You're still in a desperate situation, but you're each going to get +1d from knowing what to steal. So I guess Luna Minor, that's 2d6, and then Fennel, that's 1d6?
Yeah, like a d6.
This could also be a group action, which how that works is you take the highest result, but the leader of the role will take stress based on other people failing.
The person with the 2 in prowl should probably lead the roll.
Yeah.
Well, you still both roll, but...
Yeah, group roll sounds good to me.
Okay. So yeah, go ahead and both roll.
Do I roll 2 or just 1?
You roll 2, Fennel roll 1.
I got a 5.
Okay.
I got a 3 and a 1.
Maybe we shouldn't have done a group roll.
No, you take the 5.
Oh, okay.
Luna, you're gonna take 2 more stress. You're up to 5.
Okay.
And it is a partial success, but it is risky. It is desperate, like I said. So that is still a pretty rough consequence. So I think you slip into 2 different Jaspers when no one's paying attention. You begin the startup procedure, And at first it's fine. And then there's the, you know, the quickly there's the radio of like, you know, Jasper units, please pass over clearance. And I, Fennel, you just pass over your like your inspector clearance. Is that right?
Hmm?
Or I wasn't clear on the part where you pass over clearance, Fennel.
I don't get. Wait, sorry. I don't really know what that means.
The control tower is asking you who you are and why you're taking
it
off.
Oh god, I didn't know this was an improv class. Okay,
that's what role playing is.
Role playing.
I know, but that involves. Sorry, I don't fucking know anything about the military, y'all. I am a commander.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
I don't. I this would be much more believable if I knew a single thing about the military.
I mean, you just like Do you give them real ID? Do you give them fake ID?
I'm and if definitely so, fake roll. ID.
Okay, well then we're gonna roll. Interface, maybe. What?
I mean, if I'm faking, I could. Fake command some shit.
Oh, fun.
So you're like, you're basically like trying to get them to like stop questioning you?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my thought, that I would get in there and be like, stop questioning me. I outrank you.
Okay, that's gonna be, I'm afraid, limited.
Okay.
Because you are in a mercenary mecha, so that the odds of you being a ranking Valk person are low.
I just had to, I just had to take it because reasons.
My other mm-hmm. one's in the shop.
Yeah.
So you pass that over, and there's sort of a minute while they're processing that, and then they realize, like, wait, and then they haven't gotten one from Luna. And they say, you know, like, clearance immediately, because you've already started to fire up the engines.
Okay.
This is to Luna. Minor.
Okay.
Do I just give them the one that's already broken, or I should probably just give... Like, I can't use my real name, and I don't have any other ID other than the one that's... Well, I can use the one that's slightly misspelled, because maybe they haven't matched that up yet.
Well, and so you have already gotten the desperate consequence, letting you know, like, so the fact that this goes bad for you, it's like, this was gonna go bad.
Yeah.
This is just the color of the failure. So you pass that over, and then you sort of kick into, like, you turn on the verniers and you start to lift off. And that, like, in that moment, like, you hear, like from the catwalk, you hear a merc go, "Hey, that's my Jasper." And then one of the, like, the automated guns in the hangar turns and fires. So you're, the Jasper that you're in is going to take, level 2 harm blasted unless you resist. Now, as far as the stats on this thing, it is not as good as a proper mecha, so I'm basically, for the moment, I'm going to copy some stuff from Robin's character sheet, because Robin flies a customized Jasper, and give you an extra page where we have that stuff. We're going to go with light load for this friend. And this one has only 2 quirks. It has redundant circuitry and brittle backup plate. So level 2 blasted. Taking or resisting?
If I resisted, I have to get rid of both those quirks, right?
Yes, you will have to burn both quirks to resist it.
I mean, you could say, fuck it, it's not your mech.
Yeah, it's not my mech. Might as well do that.
Fuck it.
Okay. Level 2, blasted. So what this means is any roll you make where blasted would take effect which is probably going to be just about anything in this mecha. I can think of a few things that wouldn't be, but you will be taking minus one die to your rolls.
Wait, did I just reduce to level one?
No, you said you didn't want to spend the quirks. You said fuck it, right?
That was my suggestion. I don't think Jen necessarily...
Okay.
Did I misunderstand? That works.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm
clarify. Sure. Are we burning the quirks or no?
We're keeping the quirks.
Okay. Got it. On the plus side, Fennel, your ID doesn't, like, clear, right? But it doesn't matter because they are shooting at Luna and you just get out.
And it goes red and whatever, and it's like, woo, woo, woo. But the thing still opens, and you're like, oh.
Well, it was already open. So I think they started to close, and Fennel, in your Jasper, you fly through. I'll copy these stats for you as well, for your temporary Jasper here. Then, like, Luna is, like, propelled through by the blast. So you both made it out, and the hangar, like, was closing, but then it starts to open back up, because you've already made it through. And they start scrambling forces to come try and shoot you down.
Oh shit, we'd better go.
Let's fucking go! Let's blow this star up! Ah, we can't really do that.
What can we do?
Yeah, what can we do? We kind of.
What do you want to do?
I mean, we don't really have many options.
I mean, like, if your plan, I this is one of those situations where one of the classic examples from Dungeon World is that you can ask to do whatever you want, and we'll decide what the role is. But, like, for example, if you wanted to try and kill the dragon by throwing a rock at it, that would be desperate and that would be limited, right?
But you could do it.
But you could try. I mean, like, but, like, no matter how well you roll, you're not going to kill the dragon in one hit. You'll just make progress on the dragon clock. So, like, if your plan here is to fly at the star and pull out whatever rifle your Jasper has and start shooting, I'll let you do that. I don't think it will be super effective.
Yeah, the only other idea I have in mind is that maybe I could set my... I could set my Jasper on a collision course to ram into one of the sides of the bases where we think things might be going down, like the research and division area, but and basically right as its course is going that way, I could eject and jump into Fennel's, but I'm not sure how much good that would do since we don't entirely know where it's located at the moment.
Also, I'm gonna let you know that just like generally, I certainly wouldn't disallow it, but leaping from one mecha to another as they are flying through the air is going to be a desperate roll, no matter what. That's incredibly hard.
Aren't we in space?
You're in Atmo.
Oh.
You're on an ice planet. You're on Luziri.
Oh, okay. In my head, I was just imagining space, so it seemed like it'd be easier than it was. Than it actually is in atmosphere.
Hmm. Even then, it would be less risky, but it would still be hard. You're still trying to hit, you know, the distance and everything, and
yeah,
momentum and stuff.
You can only go one direction in space or whatever. I mean,
well, if you want to take a minute to think, we could check in with some of our other players.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. Robin.
Yes.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Could
Robin,
you?
May I see it?
No.
No.
Thank you.
I think things could be better. I had to burn two quirks. So that's not great. And then I see in the distance two other Jaspers like bursting out of the fucking hangar.
Mm-hmm. And for all you know, they're hostiles.
That is true. And I might start thinking, like, oh shit, the gig is up.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have signal static here.
Yeah. And I think signal static is just like... Signal static is having a great time, basically. This is really fun for her. And she is just, like doing, like, like karate style, like careful, like foot over foot walking, maintaining her posture, so that if any point, if you jumped, she would be stable. But she is in no rush. And she is like the swords are gently spinning by her hands. They're sort of like rotating in place. Mm-hmm. So the handles are always near her hands, but they're just twirling. And the beam saber barrier is, she has turned it off for the moment, but the beam sabers are still spinning. Just the blades aren't extended, so they could re-extend at any moment.
Right.
And she says, I've got to be honest. I figured even just with you using my hand-me-downs, you'd put up a little more of a fight. I guess this is a case where Big Sister's old pants are just a little too big for you still.
Okay. This is out of character, but I'm just trying to think of what I can do at the moment. I'm kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. Kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Here's what I was thinking. I decide to try a new trick.
Okay.
Instead of leaping towards a single static, I do a giant leap backwards in the low gravity, pull out the heavy cannon, and start firing.
Okay. You have a 2 in bombard. This is risky standard, I'll say.
Are we gonna still let me take stress to push myself?
No, you'd have to burn quirks. However, there is still the concept of collateral die if you want me to make you an offer.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. Like, I activate the flicker system at the same time so that Signal Static doesn't exactly know where the shot is gonna come from.
So it's like there are three of you, and one sort of jumps straight up, one jumps back, and one jumps forward.
Yeah, exactly. With the
I like it.
With the gun bearing down, single static, and I begin to open fire.
I like it. Okay, I'll give you a plus one for that. That's 3d6.
5, 5, and 4.
Okay. We're gonna give another. That's more effective. So that's a 2 ticks. On the Regina, you're out to 3 of 6. You will incur a risky consequence. So I think you do the flip. And Regina, talk to me about this. I don't remember. How does this cannon work? What type? What kind of projectile does it fire?
I think this fires like heavy slugs.
Hmm.
Like
good
bullets the size of like. I mean,
sedans.
Yeah, bullets the size of sedans. I don't know what.
That's
scale,
right. I remember you using it to like ricochet shots and stuff.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which turns out to be lucky, because you fire, and this is out of character knowledge. I don't think you can tell this from the shot, but I, as GM, will tell you. Her blades are coated so that she can cut beams. And she just reflexively tries to cut it because she doesn't have time to identify what kind of shot it is. Shots move way too fast for that. So she just brings her swords up and she slices the shot in two, but it all barely alters the projectile, the trajectory. So it just means she gets hit with two smaller projectiles.
Yeah.
And I think the two slug, like the two halves of a slug, like slam home, and she like tumbles like tail over tea kettle. Sort of through the ice and the snow, and then like she manages to stop her. She like reverse grips one of the sword and slams it into the ice to slow her roll, and then bring herself to a stop. And she lifts up, and like chunks of her armor start to fall off. And she says, "I see. So we're not having fun anymore, then." And she does, like, you know, as best as you can tell, she seems annoyed.
Not the first time I annoyed a pretty lady.
There is the risky consequence. And I think the risky consequence this time is that So, Signal Static is an irresponsible person. I don't know if you've gotten that vibe.
Uh-huh.
And you get hailed by Valk Command. Do you happen to remember what your what the fake ID you gave them was?
Who, me?
Baxter Baselord.
Robin.
So. Okay, I was like, wait.
Oh. I think you get a hail which says, Operative Baselord, we have identified your situation, engaged with a unknown variable. We are sending backup. Because Signal Static didn't radio ahead to say that she was coming, and all they know is that this weird mecha showed up and started attacking one of their own. And so they launch some, they redirect some other mercenaries who are on the place to, toward you. But, I mean, as soon as they show up, they're gonna figure out what's actually going on.
Okay.
So, I'm, like, not this moment. I'm going to let you do something first, but after your next action, unless you do something to stall them somehow, some mercenaries are going to show up and make the fight more complicated. Zeben!
Hi! Me and the boys are going out for a couple brews, and by a couple of brews, I mean we're going to go do work on the star.
Oh, so you're going to the star. Okay.
Yeah. Well, at least one of them was going to deal with the Robin situation, but I think the key thing about the Robin situation is that the victor of that is going to cause problems to our operation.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're in your cockpit, and, like, you're getting sort of, like, the data feed of, like, okay, so there's this duel happening, and, like, Command doesn't know what's going on, but you know that it's Robin fighting some elite Valk soldier of some sort. You know that two Jaspers were just stolen, and you're able to put two and two together on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening, like, it's, like, basically, we have, like, the shot of, like, of Fennel and Luna, and, like, Luna getting blasted and, like, tumbling out. And basically, then it cuts to, like, we're hearing people shout, and then it cuts to, like, Zeban inside their cockpit, just sort of, like, calmly adjusting controls as people are running around shouting, sort of, like, unconcerned by all this. And I think you get a channel opened from S.H.I.E.L.D. and Delta, and Be My S.H.I.E.L.D. says, "So, who are our targets?"
We're going to be splitting up here for a bit. S.H.I.E.L.D., I need you on that situation down there, and I point to Robin and company.
Okay.
And Echo, I need you with me. We're
it's
going...
Delta.
Delta, same thing. Delta, Echo. D and E. Delta, we're going up top.
Got it.
Hell yeah, let's go, baby. This is so exciting. I'm with the quiet one, or am I with the chatty one?
You're with the quiet one.
Yes, I love this dynamic then. I'm like talking like, oh my god, we're going to get so much money. We're going to go to the beach, and we're going to talk about boys, and we're going to get snacks, and we're going to have a sleepover. It's going to be so dope. What are you excited for when the mission's over?
Espresso.
Black. I love coffee, too. No, I actually had, like, 3 cups of coffee when I was in the lounge earlier talking to you guys, and I thought it was pretty cool. The coffee that they had is free, and it's like, wow, you can just fill cups and cups and cups, and it's really awesome. I love it.
We have
flown 3 feet.
I'm making a roll. Oh, you got a 6. Congratulations. You can tell that there was a quick little motion, like, some hit something on the control panel, and you're like, wait, he just put me on mute. And technology is such that he's still getting, like, subtitles in case you say something important. But, yeah, he is not listening.
Badly translated subtitles that are like, coffee and excited and boy and just endless stream of garbage.
Mm-hmm. And so you're flying upwards, I assume, towards the star. Is that the plan?
That is correct. I see a glint. It's like a beautiful glint. Like it's like a Team Rocket blasting off again, but I'm going towards it. Mm. And I'm thinking to my... I like to think that there's like a, you know, mech, internal mecha character dialogue scene here where I'm like, finally, after all these years, just a few more missions, and it's going to be payday for Big Daddy here.
Big Daddy No Tail.
Big...
that's a Dota thing, sorry.
It's all good. No love for Dad. I'll finally make up for everything I've done. Mom will be looking down at me. She'll be so proud, and I can finally put all of this behind me. This is beautiful to me.
Delta says, "Link up with me. I have an idea."
Oh. All right, I'll link up with you. Sure.
And Delta Fulcity's mecha, the Nova Drinker, pulls out a large cannon and, like, flips some, like, switches. And it does, like, the, like, you know the sort of effect you see where, like, with, like, a big charge rifle where you see very briefly, like, the particles sort of rush in and then it goes boom, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that effect doesn't stop. It has sort of, like, reversed the flow and turned its beam cannon into, like, a vacuum. And it is sucking excess energy off of the star to try and stabilize it. And I would like you to roll destroy.
Because
that's the closest thing I can think of.
Right. Destroy as in you manipulate the weapon?
Yes. Yeah, well, because okay. he's trying to do rather indiscriminate... Damage in order to stabilize the star.
I got it. That's a nice way to think about it. Okay. Do I even have a destroy stat? I have no points in destroy.
No. You're with someone who does, so I'll let you roll 1d6.
Okay. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
And I think the way this is working is like you're hooked up like through a cable. Mm-hmm. And you're like managing your like electrical flow to try and assist this effort. Because like basically like you're almost acting like a heat sink for all the energy he's pulling off.
I love it. I rolled a 2. I don't love that.
So the energy is building up, and the Tonka flare is... it's starting to get real hot in here. It's starting to get really hot in here.
It's a hot one.
You're going to take level 2 harm boiling unless you can do something about that.
Can I resist that?
Yes. You could burn some quirks. That would make sense. I don't think distill pneumatics makes sense.
Mm-mm.
The other 3, I can figure out a way.
Ooh, I kind of like that. Something fun about burning sleek chassis.
Like your armor is just starting to like melt.
It's sloughing off. Exactly.
Okay. So that's 1. You need a second 1.
Oh, shit. But I need those blinding boosters.
It's like either you use the blinding boosters, which means you're like desperately converting the energy into your boosters, and just like this, like this star is blasting out of the back of your mecha boosters, or the lying computer has an idea.
Oh, I was gonna say it's more Star Trek if I do the blinding boosters, but I think it's actually more Star Trek if I burn the lying computer. Then, yeah.
Okay.
I forget how we described what the lying computer does exactly.
We kind of didn't, which is why this is fun for me.
All right, have fun with it. Play with it.
I think the lying computer, just basically starts doing like it's like when you like in a show or whatever, when you see like a computer is being hacked, where like pop-ups and stuff are happening rapidly without any input on your part, right?
Yeah.
Only it's just the computer doing it to itself. And so like programs are opening and closing and it's running all these subroutines. And I am going to declare a load for you.
Okay.
You're heavy. Now two slots are taking up by a heavy cannon. Because a heavy cannon unfolds from your back and just starts dumping. It's just trying to get rid of the excess energy, and it's just firing this blast into the air. So you're sucking star energy in through the Nova Drinker, and then dumping it back out through this cannon into space.
There we go. Yeah. This is going to be tough.
Yeah. And we'll continue to check in on your process there. Fennel and Rob, or Fennel and Luna Minor.
So dope. I'm sorry. I just had, like, chills.
What's going on over there?
I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go help Robin.
Okay. You are definitely, you're in a better position than Luna Minor. Luna Minor's gonna have to deal with the consequences of her whole situation, but if you want to go do that, that's fine. I think this is a maneuver, if that makes... Well, okay, what... If you're just trying to get to Robin, it would be a maneuver to sort of see if you can beat the other forces trying to attack Robin there. If you're trying to do something else, let me know.
Yeah. Let's go over by Robin and see what we can do to help. How many maneuvers do
I have? You have one in maneuver.
I do not have very good stats on. Okay.
Not for piloting so much.
I got it too.
Okay. So you turn on the boosters and you fly that away towards Robin and the skirmish. And that is when you in a way, this is a success. You're helping Robin out because you are cut off by Be My Shield and their mecha, the Paper Machete. And the Paper Machete catches you off guard by like drawing a chain sword. Think like kind of like the mecha version of like Ivy Sword from Soul Calibur.
Okay.
Ooh. And sort of swings it together. It links together, and they like cut a quick slash, and you dodge it. But now you are in kind of a shitty mecha up against an Ace Custom.
Whee!
And so you are going to be rolling in a desperate position.
Whee! Okay.
Luna Minor, what are you up to?
I'm not...
You're in a desperate position.
Yeah. I'm super duper damaged, and I imagine... going to fight would probably be a bad idea, and also staying here would be a bad idea. Is it possible to get back to the ship, like my ship, without raising any alarm?
Your ship or your mecha?
My ship specifically.
It's a pretty good distance away. Because otherwise it would get detected. So that would be... I mean, you can work on it, but that would be a clock.
Oh. Hmm. What should I do?
You can retreat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing, like, trying to retreat over to the ship.
Yeah, just maybe, yeah, you don't want to, I mean, if you want to die, like, go out in a blaze of glory.
I'd rather not do that just yet, unless I can't help it, but, yeah, I guess I'll try and retreat to either get to my mech, which is in that ship from what I remember, or,
I mean, you can declare that, I'll let you declare it's a reasonable idea that you would have stashed it on the planet if you want to have done that.
Okay,
I keep saying planet. It's a moon, of course.
Yeah.
That's the legal classification. Mm-hmm. For tax purposes.
Okay, I guess I'll I guess I'll fly to an area that, I'll fly to an area where I was keeping the mech.
Okay, so this is going to be a clock, a smaller clock, and you're rolling maneuver, and if you get a success or a partial success, you are going to move up to a risky position. You'll make progress and move up to a risky position. However, you will take a consequence, obviously, if you fail or get a partial success.
Okay.
I'll offer you a collateral die if you want it. Otherwise, just go ahead and roll.
What's she rolling?
Maneuver.
That's 2d6, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, this is a great moment to point out. This is a great use for those quirks. I don't think brittle backup blade makes sense here, but if you want to burn redundant circuitry to give yourself an extra die on this mecha you don't give a shit about.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'll do that.
Okay, so I think you use the redundant circuitry because you just sort of like reroute a bunch of power through those circuits and burn them out in the process of adding more, you know, like more power to the engines or whatever. So go ahead and roll 3d6 maneuver. Desperate standard.
Okay, I got a 3, a 4, and a 2.
Okay, that's a partial success. Your next roll will be from a risky position. And I will give you 2 out of 4 progress on. Why did I do that? 2 out of 4 progress on escaping airspace.
Okay.
At which point you'll be able to either move a clock to start heading for the collet, or just for free, basically go get to the scalpel. So you reroute power. You start boosting away from the base. And, like, shots are flying all around, and they score another hit. And, I'm trying to think of a good... The thing is, you have to come up with basically, like, a word to sum it up, right?
Level 1 harm grazed?
It's a desperate position. It can't be level 1.
Oh.
It's got to be another level 2, basically. I forgot.
What?
You already have level 1 blasted.
Uh-oh.
That reduces your effect. It's 1 of 4 on the clock, not 2 of 4.
Okay.
I think this is just like,
maybe the system's overload and it's a level 2 harm burnt out.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I think level 2, like, I think burnt out is good. That's good. Because I think there's there's a short circuit as you're pushing the systems, and this is cosmetic, but like we see like the shower of sparks from the console. And then it cuts to like the mecha, and it sort of lurches in the air as one of the engines goes like pop really loudly. And you've still got a lot of momentum. The gravity here is lower than Earth, so you're moving pretty fast. But there is like this plume of black smoke, and that you're starting to lose altitude as you go. However, you have gotten a decent amount of distance, and so you are now in a risky position because it will be harder for them to shoot you down.
Damn, mercs these days really skimp on their ships, huh?
I guess so. who wants to go?
I mean, I'm having a great time burning up in the atmosphere.
All right, if you want to roll again, if you want to roll another story, or if you have some other idea.
At this point, I just need to get up there.
I mean, you are,
am I there,
you're close-ish. You and Delta, mm-hmm, are close enough to do the vacuum thing. If you want to do something else, like, this is part of, I'm not saying there isn't something you can do, but as GM, I don't know what action you're trying to take to stabilize the star, how you are planning to do that.
Well, the weapon's already being fired, right?
Yes. Well, okay. Yeah, in such a way, yeah.
I mean, I guess at that point, then, if I'm sure that it's stable and nobody's anywhere near it, then maybe it's just time for me to show my hand and eliminate the competition, so to speak.
I mean, like, you are actively... So what is happening is the Nova Drinker is pulling this energy off the star, and you are dumping it into space. You could dump it somewhere else.
Ooh. Star grenade.
Wee woo.
Wee woo. I mean, I'm thinking more like Wing Zero, but you know.
You want me to... Do you think I should do the spin? Can I do the big... I'm looking at my Wing Zero Gunpla right now thinking...
By the way, I found out the official name of that is the Rolling Buster.
Good for them. That's a good name.
Rolling Buster!
Love it. I respect it. I'm going to keep calling it the spin, though.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah, I would like to direct this at someone.
Okay. Who are you directing it at?
Who do I want to betray first? I'm like fucking... Oh, I don't know who the girl from Umineko is. I was going to make a really clutch Umineko reference, and I cannot think of her name.
Beatrice,
yeah. I was going to be like, is she like a sneaky lady sometimes?
She's more... she'll occasionally set people up to fail, then do an over-the-top cackle or something like that.
Yeah, that is kind of the vibe. Because in this version of this story, I feel like I'm a lot more obvious about it. So
yeah. Because for the listener at home, Alan's a traitor.
Did you get it?
the rest of the cast found that out on the episode that we lost, so they're not surprised. They were at the time.
I can pretend to be surprised.
Gasp.
How could you?
No, I think, okay, well, who's in their mechs right now? So Robin is in the Robin mech.
Mm-hmm.
The fiends, thank you.
So... Jen,
yeah,
I'm really sorry to say
I don't want to keep hurting.
I have to be. I have to be honest to the fiction. Uh-huh. Robin is in a melee with a signal static, and so that would be firing on a melee, and you could hit either one of them.
Yep.
Fennel is in a melee with Delta Full City. Again, could be hitting either one
of them.
Pretty
risky.
Luna Miner's just kind of flying there with this big plume of smoke indicating their location.
Oh. This is why they don't put PvP in most tabletop games. This is exactly why, because then I have to say I'm trying to kill Luna Miner Delta. Jen, please roll well.
I'll try.
Well, okay, so
PvP's
the way
in games, but you don't want to kill people, but here we are.
Exactly.
Well, and so the way this works is like in these games, in Powered by the Apocalypse games. It's not like, okay, Zeban, roll bombard, and if you get a 6, then Luna's dead, right? That's bullshit. This is player versus player. This doesn't work like that. What we're going to do is, first off, at the table, here, is everybody okay with what's happening?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
It's dramatically then, interesting.
From there, we're going to roll, and we're going to talk about what that roll actually means.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because even if you roll a crit, I mean, if Jen
I'm not
is
gonna,
like
successfully
I,
nuke Jen, like bam, well, I win. I beat
I mean,
one
if,
of the
if
players.
That's what Jen wants, if Jen's like, I think it is dramatically interesting for Luna to get evaporated, then we can do that. But we are going to talk about it. So, roll. You don't have bombard, but you are getting the assist still from the Nova Drinker. So roll 1d6. Do you want to push yourself? Do you want to do anything?
I mean, what do I have to push myself with? I'd have to burn a quirk, right?
You could do distill pneumatics to try and like fight the recoil.
I have a beam saber question, by the way.
Yes,
because I know quirks that can be burned. That's the way you do damage to your mech. How do you use quirk? How do you manipulate quirks? I guess just like when you're doing things in your mech, you justify them by saying that you use the quirk.
Right, right, and it doesn't like it doesn't necessarily mean like I've been usually doing like they are burned out by this action, but. You can also think of it in a more, like, cinematic way, where it's like, okay, for this shot, the camera emphasizes the fact that the blinding boosters are doing this, right? And it's just like, you can't recycle that shot.
Correct.
So.
You're on a limited animation budget.
Or that's just not dramatically interesting.
Yeah.
So, what,
the
I mean...
Because the Tonka Flare is like a speedy mech, or a very high momentum mech. So, mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to disconnect from the Nova Drinker and use, like, the pent-up energy to try and do, like, to do a sweep with the blinding boosters to get in close for the shot.
But it's what I'm thinking is, like, I pull a falling star maneuver and blinding boost into Luna Minor.
Okay.
My stomach's turning.
All right. 2d6. Let's roll it, and then let's talk.
2d6. Okay. Bada boosh, bada scoosh. Oh, my God. I got a 5 and a 6.
Okay. So that is a success. And to be honest, it's a great success,
oh,
I
no.
think.
Oh, boy.
Now, again, let's talk. Jen, Alan, not Luna Minor and Zeven, Jen and Alan.
Yeah.
What do we want to happen here?
So, I think it'd be interesting to, like, it doesn't kill me, but it incapacitates me to a significant degree and makes it easy for, like, the people that were chasing me earlier to come scoop me up.
Also, aren't you not in your current mech? You're in another mech, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So I don't feel too bad. I'm not killing, like, the Sandrock.
Yeah.
So here's an idea.
Okay.
We could have Luna Minor get shot down and be out of commission. And Jen, you could start playing someone else for a little while if you want.
Yeah, I could do that.
Interesting.
Do you have an opinion as to who you want to play? This is
unprecedented.
No, but it is not very commonly precedented, right? And so I think it's only fair that I let you have pretty open pick of who you want to play. Obviously not anyone that anyone else is already playing, but you could even have there be another character on the scene who the camera hasn't focused on. What do you want right now?
Trying to think of who else I could take control of, or just...
So, we have Delta Full City, who is trying to stabilize the star. We have Be My Shield, who is fighting Fennel. Yeah. We have Devrin Tell, the pilot of the Viridian Magister Defiance, who is trying to stabilize the star. We have Bravo Turbine. And then we have a character who I haven't mentioned yet, who is an anti-entropist aide. Well, no, I'm sorry, I have mentioned them. We have Trick Roadhouse.
Trick Roadhouse.
Who is doing stuff.
Oh.
If you pick him, or pick them, excuse me, if you pick them, I will let you know what they're up to. I'm not using that to allure you. I'm just saying, like, I am trying to, as a storyteller, I'm trying to keep that card close to my chest. But if you pick that character, obviously you need to know what they're doing to play them.
I think it might be an interesting change of pace and also just less confusing if I just play the person who's trying to stabilize the sun right now.
Devrin Tell,
yeah.
The Viridian Magister?
Yeah, whoever's up there at the moment, like, siphoning the sun stuff away.
Okay, well, so two people are doing that. There is Devrin Tell, the Viridian Magister, and then there is Delta Full City.
And
Delta Full City is the quiet, cute one.
Delta Full City is the one that was up to stuff, right? Or is that...
Well, they're both up to stuff. We haven't focused on Devrin Tell, because Devrin Tell has just sort of been in the background. But Devrin Tell is piloting a super weapon. This is Laziri is Devrin Tell's home. At one point in time, Devrin Tell caught a comet that was trying to hit the planet and threw it aside. Devrin Tell's, like, I don't know if Devrin Tell's cool, but Devrin Tell's cool.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
I'll do that then.
Okay. So you are in the Viridian Magister Defiance. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say you are the Viridian Magister Defiance, because a thing that we haven't focused on is that the Viridian Magisters aren't piloted. If you become a Viridian Magister, your brain and your spinal cord are removed and just installed directly into the mecha.
Damn, okay.
So you don't, you, this is your body now, is this, like, Final Fantasy VII weapon style mecha.
Ooh.
Of ridiculous power. How are you working on the star right now?
So the method that, trying to think of what I could be doing here.
You have a super weapon that defies the laws of reality. Go nuts.
Okay. Okay. How about this? Are there any, let's say there's like a colony, that I'm familiar with that I've got an idea here. So I have a silent program that I'm running basically like a nonprofit. I'm guessing that I've done this a few times with this particular sun, where we find specific colonies that are having energy issues, and basically my super weapon opens up small black holes from which to siphon when I'm getting the energy out of there. It's sending that energy over to the colonies to power their reactors.
Interesting. Okay, so this, like, what we didn't, and I didn't realize, is that this is probably the worst instance of this star freaking out, but this is not a new thing. This has happened before, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, so at a lesser scale, this star has been acting up, and other people haven't really been aware, because you've just been taking care of it, as Devrin Tell. Okay, so you are siphoning off this energy and sort of packing it into, like, a pocket black hole to take to this colony. Or, no, you're saying you're opening, like, a gate and it goes directly there? Like a wormhole?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think mostly the stuff that's happening planet side is beneath your notice. But, I mean, if you're, because you're focusing on this, but if you want to get involved in other stuff, you can.
I might wait another turn or two just to see what's happening.
Okay. Do you want to make a roll for me? This is another destroy roll. This is going to be controlled great.
Okay.
And you have 3D. You have 3 in destroy, so you're rolling 3d6.
Okay.
If you want devil's bargains or anything, let me know.
Okay, I got a 5, a 3, and a 4.
Okay. So you pull more off, I'm going to start a clock, which is the star being stabilized. Which is a... I'm going to say it's a 10-step clock, because that's a pretty hard thing to do. But between you and Delta, I think it's up to 4 of 10 already. So you pull energy off, and I think... back on the, like, you're you've been really focused, but you sort of hit a point where this is, like, you've done this multiple times, and at first it was like, oh god, this is, like, really dire, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you figured out what is different, and it's like, this is still a problem, but it's also, like, you're in the point of the job where you're just doing the job, and you're able to let your mind wander a little bit, and sort of, you sort of, like, wander your mind to your sensors, and you observe what's happening, planet side, right?
Yeah.
And this is the point where you observe that the temperatures on Laziri are accelerating at a greater rate than your calculations had initially intended. And I am starting a different clock, a 4-step clock, which is at 1 of 4, called Laziri Melts.
Ooh.
This is, so you're noticing, like, the temperatures going up, and this ice planet, the surface of it in parts, and where the ice is thinner, or it's closer to the star, the atmosphere is less thin, the ice is starting to melt.
Oh, okay.
Who wants to go?
Certainly not me.
I guess me.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. So you are in a desperate position. You are in a melee with... the paper machete piloted by Be My Shield.
I'm gonna bail.
Okay, sounds great.
Because I don't think give this me is a maneuver. Good fight.
Um, And do you want to burn any quirks for this or anything?
Yes.
Okay, you've got redundant circuitry and brittle backup blade. You want to, like
throw a knife like, and run away?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
That's exactly okay. What I want to do. I want to get the fuck out of there, because did I see what happened to Luna?
Yeah, I guess you would have.
I think it's hard not to.
Yeah, I feel like I want to dip and try to go help Luna if I can.
Okay. 2d6, then.
Ugh, god damn it. I got a 4 and a 3.
So that's a partial success. I could also offer you a devil's bargain if you want to roll one more. I will note, the devil's bargain, like, if I give you the extra die, even if you roll a failure, the devil's bargain also takes place. So that's part of how that works. The collateral die is what's called in the system.
I'll just go with the partial success, I guess.
Okay. So I think you throw the blade and, the paper machete swats it aside. The paper machete has their marching orders, though. They're not supposed to be dealing with you. They're supposed to be dealing with Robin. And so they just swat it aside, and they're like, okay, great. If you decided you don't want part of this, that's fantastic. And they let you go. Up in the sky, between the Nova Drinker and the efforts of the Defiance, the clock goes up more. It is 5 out of 10 for star stabilized. We get the shot of the smoking wreck of Luna Miner's stolen Jasper. As your Jasper comes in for a landing, and I think you pushed the system a little too hard, and it sort of tumbles a little bit. So it is in rough shape. It's going to take level 1 harm scraped as you come in for a landing. But you land successfully next to Luna Miner. It's a wreck.
All right, I'm going to go and see if Luna is alive.
Okay. The cockpit is jammed shut.
Okay. Can I, look around for something to pry it open with?
There's, an emergency, thing on the side there that, it activates in case of, loss of power, which would be the current situation. Okay. Where basically it uses blasting charges to blast the door off.
Alright, I'm gonna smack that shit.
Okay. And the cockpit door, just blasts off. And there's a decent amount of smoke, and the smoke clears. And Luna Miner is, buckled in. Slumped over the controls. Her head is bleeding, but she seems okay. She's unconscious.
Okay. Do we have, a radio?
Sure.
Can I, radio back to our ship and, call for help?
Sure. I think you, This would be an interface role just because you're in enemy territory and getting this transmission out safely.
Okay.
So go ahead and give me that, please.
Okay.
You don't have interface, so that's 2d6 takes a lower, but this is a controlled position.
Okay.
So it probably won't go too bad for you.
I got a 6.
Nice. Great.
Wait, what, a 6 and a what?
Oh, I do 2. 6 and
okay,
a...
Okay, because it's...
6 and a... digital dice. 2.
Okay, because it's take the lower, so it's a 2.
Oh, fuck my life.
So you get a hold of, You get in contact, and I think it is Legacy Derek who answers the call.
I miss him so much. I think about him every fucking day.
Legacy Derek says, hey, good news, I hope. Good news. How's it going down there?
Bad news. I need someone to come give Luna some medical attention because she is passed out cold.
Are we pulling out? What's the game plan? boss, captain boss, boss captain?
Hey, I was only captain for a little bit, but...
Big boss, captain boss?
Captain of the boss.
I don't really know what the plan is, but I just want to make sure Luna is okay at this point, you know? I know that's not usually my MO, but...
I'm just worried about getting close with our ship and getting detected. If you could come to us, that would be safer. Is that feasible?
I guess I can try to lift Luna into this shitty-ass mech that I stole.
What's going on down there?
Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when I get back.
Nothing. Nothing.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. How okay. are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Well, shit. It's going bad, huh?
You know, I'll talk to you later if Fennel hangs up.
Wait, I think before you manage to hang up, Legacy Derek goes, wait, bring back Snack.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Derek.
They were all out of pop secret.
Derek wants me to bring back Skinny Pop.
Pop secret is what I call this arc of Zeban's life. Because I revealed a secret and I popped in on someone.
Devrin Tell. Jen.
Yeah?
You just got an interesting bit of information.
Mm. Oh, okay.
There was a signal coming off of Laziri heading out into deeper space. And you traced it. And there is a warship, sort of hanging out there, beyond the range of most people's radar, but not yours.
Ah, okay. Should I communicate this? I imagine I'm working for the base down below, right?
You're a Viridian Magister. You answer directly to the Emperor. These people work for you.
Okay. Who's the person that's next to me? I forget the name that's helping with the sun.
It is Be My Shield. Or no, sorry, it's Delta Full City. My bad.
Okay. Hey, Delta. I've noticed a very peculiar thing with what may or may not be a warship nearby. Do you think you have the sun under control, or is it best if I just stay here? Or if you prefer, I could send you over there to check out what that is.
Sir, I think probably it would be better if I go. I don't know if we could do this without you.
Okay. And I basically give them the coordinates.
Okay. And they are going to go head to investigate the Cullet.
Okay. In the meantime, I guess I should continue to work on this Star Clock.
Sure. Roll another destroy for me.
Okay.
3d6.
Okay. 1, 6, and a 5.
Okay. A 6. That'll up it by 3. We're up to 8 out of 10 star stabilized.
Awesome.
I think you, you start to figure out, and this is a moment where something clicks for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
This star has always been a little unstable. It's had these fluctuations. But, you know, this one was different, right? And those scientists down below are trying to figure out why. But they don't have all the information. They don't know about its history of doing this in the past. And so they're useless. They're not going to figure it out. You have all the information and you have the sensors and you are up here looking at the evidence. And you realize that this wasn't natural or an accident.
Ooh. Oh.
But you would estimate maybe a month ago, someone tampered with the star. Someone interact directly with the core of the star in a way that destabilized it. You can't tell if that was the intent or if that is a side effect. But this happened because someone did something to the star.
I see. And did it start to get better once the other person left? Or is it...
Oh, no, this happened like a month ago.
Oh, okay. And is there any way for me to, like, look into... Well, I guess I could check the logs for who was working with this star a month ago.
Or just check, like warp traces in the area and stuff. You've got some pretty advanced instruments. If you want to investigate this, you can roll for that, sure.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to see who was around here around the same time that this happened.
Okay, give me a 2d6 study.
Okay. 5 and a 2.
Okay. You don't know exactly, like, it wasn't a Valk ship. It was an anti-entropist ship.
Oh.
You can't identify the specific one, but you're like, there is definitely an anti-entropist ship who came through here. You're detecting them via warp traces, not via records. There is no record of them showing up here. Nobody saw them, at least as far as you can tell. No one put down the official record. But with your instruments, you're able to tell they came here. They use some kind of tool, the nature of which you're not clear, on the core of the star, and the star started to freak out.
I see, okay.
Robin, it's been a little while. How's it going over there?
Not great. The moon is melting. I saw there's fucking rods from God.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. That you did roll a 5, not a 6. So the moon melting goes up to 2 out of 4. I forgot.
Fucking clapped.
Wait, what are you talking about?
The Devrantel rolled a 5, not a 6. So that was a partial success. So there's a consequence, which is that the moon melting clock goes to 2 out of 4 instead of 1 out of 4.
Right.
Okay. Devrin. Okay.
Devrin, you can't make my work be for nothing, buddy.
Okay.
There is another, so the situation has gone to desperate, I'm afraid, Robin, because, you are in a situation now where there is another, ace mecha coming in. This is the paper machete. And then there are a couple of, merc jaspers that are closing off your flank. Plus, of course, the Regina is still here.
Right. And I imagine, like, I heard over comms, like, Fennel radioing back to the Cullet.
I think you probably didn't hear the radio necessarily. Well, yeah, you can have heard the radio. That's fine. That's more interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes sense, but I don't care.
I think the only move Robin has is to make an expedient retreat. Say, I would love to stay and play, but I got places to be.
Okay, so it's desperate standard. That's a maneuver roll. If you have an idea, I'm here for it. I don't know how either of your quirks would apply.
Well, I was thinking, like, since the planet, not the planet, the moon is melting, there's, like, a large slag or something that's sliding down, like, a hill, and I attach myself to, I use the tether to attach myself to it, and, get out of dodge.
Okay. And then I will offer you a collateral die. Well, I will offer you a collateral. It's not a die. I'll improve your position if you give control to Watson. Or Watkins, excuse me.
Yeah, this is desperate. And I think, like, this is one of those situations which Watkins, like, takes over automatically.
Okay. So I think Watkins, fires the... obviously, you know, we have shared control of Watkins, so I'm not going to just take over completely.
Right.
But I think Watkins spins and with one arm attaches the grappling hook to the thing and starts to like pull away, and then also like fires some suppressing fire with the heavy cannon to keep the mercs at bay. And I think this is going to scare off the mercs and paper machete, which brings you up to risky standard, but the Regina isn't particularly scared. So go ahead and roll your 3d6 maneuver.
I got a 6, 5, and a 1, so a 6.
Okay. I think you grapple on, and it's just like you're firing, and the Regina is closing in, and then you fire another shot, and it's about to land home, and the Regina like spins and chops it, and then like as she's chopping, she remembers what happened last time she cut one of your shells in half, and she quickly like hits an emergency like spin to try and get out of the way, and it completely fucks her momentum. She goes into a tumble. And she writes herself, but you're gone. And, I think we have a moment where, Zeban.
Hi.
You're looking down at sort of like this, there's just a big plume of smoke. I don't think you even saw Fennel land because the smoke is just sort of blocking your vision from up above.
Yeah.
Luna?
Fennel.
Well, you saw Luna go down because you shot Luna go down, but the smoke is blocking out Fennel, who went to go see them. It's like, okay, well, I guess we turn our attention back to the star. It seems like you see Robin / Watkins get away, and it's like, okay, well, that's not, like, they're out of the picture, whatever. Yeah. And the camera follows as you turn back towards the star. At the bottom of one of these big ice ravines, we see, Watkins in the Phoenix, detach from the big chunk of ice and sort of stare up at the sun as the color of the star tends to get more and more healthy. Mm. And then we see the Nova Drinker flying towards the Cullet. As Legacy Derek is sort of like frantically hitting keys, trying to figure out what to do. And Alberio Minor Aurum puts a hand on his shoulder. It's like, listen, we'll take care of it. And that's where we're stopping for today.
Oh, shit. All
right.
Wow.
What are the repercussions going to be? What's going to happen to Zeban?
Zeban!
Will Frieza manage to beat the Super Saiyan?
Probably not. Find out next time on Dragon Ball.
So I know, especially Kat, you gotta go.
I gotta.
You want to give people the quick plug zone pitch?
Give them the quick and dirty.
It's
on your time. You don't actually have to give them any quicker or dirty.
Do things that make you happy. The end. That's my plug.
I want to record tabletop podcast with my friends. I did it.
You did it.
Yes. Alan, why don't you go next for us?
Chats of Television podcast is a good TV podcast that I host with my friend Magellan. That's spelled CHATZ / a television podcast. We have just wrapped up talking about Roots, the main 77 series, and we're going to be talking about the Next Generation's Roots series, which is pretty interesting stuff. We're really branching out in the like comedy television podcast, talking about a show centered around slavery. Check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. It sounds silly, but it's legit. Like, good. It's the project, one of the projects I'm very proud of.
Mm.
Hell yeah.
And then for Jen, Kyrie, and I, we are Scanline Media. ScanlineMedia.com, Patreon.com, says Scanline Media. Hey, Ultra Despair Reprise just started back up. You should check that out.
At You Despaircast on Twitter.com. We're back, baby.
We're back, baby.
A dinosaur story.
But until next time, folks, we're gonna stop here. We're gonna take it home, and we're gonna see you in the stars.
In the stars?
Stars.
Stars.
Swag.